This is God's Word. But God's Word doesn't just reside in a book, even one called a Holy Bible. God's Word resides in you and me and is continuing to be worked out. We began our worship this morning with, I'm not going to sing for you, don't worry. You were turning my mic off during this. Okay, good. What God forgot to give me in musical ability, He made up for in volume. So that's not always real good. 526, a solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Not on my own stuff, not on my smarts, my goodness. No matter how much you love me, that doesn't count like Jesus loving me counts. That's not to throw rocks at you. That's just to say I'm more concerned about what Jesus thinks than what you think. And you ought to be too, about yourself and about how you stand with Jesus. God's Word is given to us not so much to understand it, and we get messed up on that sometimes. That this Word is not given to us so much to understand it as it is for us to stand under it, to believe it, to accept it, to live by it, to make it a part of us. Now, understanding is not bad. I got all sorts of years of schooling and all that kind of stuff, and that's good stuff. But, understanding is not crucial. Standing under God's Word is crucial. Dwight Moody was once asked about a particular issue in theology and said, well, how do you explain that in the Bible? And Dwight said, I don't explain it. He said, what do you mean you don't explain it? How can you preach it if you don't explain it? He said, I preach it because I believe it. You and I don't have to understand. In fact, if we get to thinking we understand, we might want to be careful. If I can understand God, then I'm on an equal with Him. My ways are not your ways, God tells us. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Paul is reflecting on that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as he writes to us explaining about the foolishness of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. 'For the message of the cross is foolishness.' Foolishness. It is. That's plain idiocy. If I were God, I could have devised a whole lot better way to save the world than having some poor guy die on a cross. Well, maybe I could. When I was in seminary, I had all these bright thoughts as I was studying scripture and theology, and I thought, man, I ought to write this stuff down. This is good stuff. And then I got to studying church history and realized that they used to throw people out of the church for some of those great thoughts I was having. That they weren't God's thoughts. They were man's thoughts, and not real good thoughts at that. The cross is foolishness. It is. Because God's foolishness is several steps above my smartness. You take all that I know and all that I am and all that I think and pile it up, and it's still just a little puny thing compared to the Lord God Almighty. Paul wants us to realize, remember, and live the concept that the cross is foolishness. But, that it's through the foolishness of the cross that we can be saved. It's by submitting to God's way and God's will and God's thoughts. I mean, if He is God, His thoughts ought to be pretty good, right? If He is God, then His power is probably better than mine. If He is God, then maybe what He has to say and think and suggest is worth listening to. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him. You see, the world is looking for God. Those folks you know who are not Christians, they're looking for God. Some of them don't know it, but they are. Some of them know it. I play golf with fellows. Nick, you know some of them. They're convinced they're going to hell. And quite possibly some of them are. But they're convinced they're going to hell for the wrong reasons. They think because they do this or that or believe this or that or live like this or that, that God's going to drop kick them into hell. That's not quite true. They live like this or that and they believe these things and they do these things because they're separated from God. Because they've searched for Him but haven't been able to find Him. The foolishness of the cross is that you and I found Him and we weren't all that smart. We weren't all that good. We weren't all that bright, wonderful. In fact, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 1 and says, God chose the weak things of this world, the unimportant things. I mean, look at the disciples, fishermen. You know how fishermen lie. Tax collectors. Who wants to be buddies with a tax collector? Guys who lost their cool and blew their tops, John and James, the sons of thunder, because they just flew off the handle at every time. Peter, the guy who always had something to say, even if it shouldn't have been said. That's the kind of people Jesus picked out to follow Him, to turn the world upside down, and to find you and me a place in His kingdom. God chose those kinds of people. That means you and I can get on the bandwagon too. We can be part of the chosen ones if we will believe in the foolishness of the cross. Education, as I said, is good, but remember, education is not all we crack it up to be. We've got our minds sort of twisted on that. Electricity. I know just enough, my electrician friend tells me, that I know just enough about electricity to be dangerous. And I've got two screwdrivers with little notches out of them from where they encountered a live electric line. You wouldn't think a plier could be bent by electricity, but I tell you, I have a set of pliers that was. When you tap into something like electricity, it doesn't matter whether you understand it or not, it's there, and it's going to do its thing. Well, you and I don't have to understand God's word or God's way. It's going to do its thing too. My word goes forth and does not come back void, God says. What I'm going to do in this world, I'm going to do. You don't have a choice about what I'm going to do. What you do have a choice, He says, about is whether you're going to be a part of it or not. Are you going to join hands with one another, with your church, with your pastor, with your community, and honor what God's doing in this world? Stand under God's will and God's way. Now, we can try to understand it if we first start with God. See, most of our attempts at understanding and education and learning start with me. I'm going to get smarter. I came home to my parents' home right after I grew this beard. It's been, I don't know, 40 years ago or something. I've forgotten. And my sister, youngest sister, looks at me and says, boy, you look smart now. I thought, gee, I didn't have to go to college and seminary. I could have just grown a beard. Well, a lot of our learning and education and smartening is like that. It's based on false assumptions. I may look smart. That doesn't mean I am. And it doesn't matter how smart I am. When you compare me to God Almighty, well, no, I don't even want to try to differentiate between that. I was sitting at a basketball court one night in Louisville, Kentucky, and one of the basketball players came walking down the aisle, and I'm sitting on the end, and I look to my left, and there's these legs, like about this big around. I'm sitting there in a basketball uniform because our seminary team had played a pregame game with another school. And I thought, as he walked past me, now that is a basketball player. as you and I look at Jesus Christ, we realize that is a man, a real man, a God, yes, but a man too. That is what God wants us to be. Becoming like Jesus Christ. Oh, not with great big basketball thighs necessarily, but with the heart that cries over people who are hurting. As he stood and looked across Jerusalem, he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest for your souls. How about it? Do you need some rest today? Think back about this past week and where you've been and what you've done and what you've tried to done and couldn't. Think about all those things that bollocked you and got in front of you and tried to trip you up. Could you use a little rest in the middle of that? I don't mean sit back in the lazy chair and twiddle your thumbs rest. I mean rest that comes from God where you have a peace about the situation. You mentioned Roxy Spriggs. Roxy is dying of leukemia. They've started hospice for her already. She's at her son John's and probably will not be here much longer. I was with her yesterday and we were talking along and I said, "Are you okay, Roxy? Is there anything I can do?" She said, "No, it'll be all right. It'll be all right." That's not just a Pollyanna, "It'll be okay." That's a statement of faith. My hand is in God's hand and whatever's ahead, He's in charge of. The foolishness of the cross, of facing death and not being worried, of facing life. How about it? You may not be facing death right now, but life can sometimes be more scary than death. Dealing with trying to put up with government things, trying to deal with family decisions, trying to help people. Can be very, very difficult if we operate on our smarts, our wisdom, our abilities, because we run out of steam, out of gas. We can only do so much unless we put our hand in God's. And then I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. The foolishness of the cross says God's way will work. And my way won't work. So which way do you want to choose? You want to follow me? Or you want to follow God? I hope you're smart enough to follow God. One of the scariest things in my ministry was when a little 2-year-old girl coming out of church one Sunday morning in Montgomery, West Virginia, reached up and wanted a hug. And I always hug little kids. So I picked her up and hugged her. And she said, "Are you God?" You talk about a fellow's knees turning weak. And I thought, "Oh, God, help me." Because that's exactly what little ones and other ones and old ones and hurting ones think about you and me. We are Christ to the world around us. A saint is nothing more than somebody in whom Christ has taken up residence. A saint is not somebody with a halo and going around doing good deeds and attending church and teaching Sunday school. A saint is somebody in whom Christ lives. And when Christ lives in somebody, oh wow, that is foolishness, but it's power. Paul said the cross, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are dying, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. All right, you want that power in your life? You want that rest that can only come in the midst of the storm when God lays it on you? You want direction for your life so you can not figure it out, but do what's right in spite of not knowing? Then you need to get closer to the one who knows what's going on. He created us. He made this world. He set things going. He's keeping it going. If God pulled his hand out, this world would be kaplooey. But he's still got his hand on us, on this world, on the future. And he's looking for ones to join in the foolishness of the cross. To walk beside him, to walk along with others, to help one another and to see what God's future can be. Faye read for us a while ago from Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Are you simple? We don't want to be simple, do we? We want to be bright. We want to be smart. We want to be part of the in crowd. I remember it was the in crowd that threw Jesus to the wolves. It was the in crowd that called him a worker of Satan. It was the in crowd that turned their backs on him and crucified him. The foolishness of the cross. That the simple-minded, yes, you and me, can live with the wisdom of God in us. Can walk with the power of God around us. Can reach out and touch somebody else and watch their love for God blossom. You've heard the story, probably a made-up preacher story, but it's a good little story, about the little boy who's walking along the seashore after the tide had washed all the starfish in, and there's starfish laying all over the ocean, and this little kid's coming along, tossing them back in the water. Working his way up and down the beach, and this fellow says, "Hey, kid, look down there. There's millions of them. You can't save them." And the little kid says, "I saved that one. It ain't the great big things, folks. It's doing what's at hand, what God lays in front of you, what He calls you to right now, this moment, this day, that shows whether we believe in the foolishness of the cross or whether we're looking for some better scheme devised by some preacher like Joe to save the world. I suggest you look for the foolishness of the cross rather than my way. For my way has already been shown to be unuseful." Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Gone. Where is the philosopher? God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. It's not by being smart. It's by bowing before God. It's not by being wise in the ways of the world. It's by being honest with Jesus. "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, just as I am, without one plea, the foolishness of the cross, the blessing of Jesus." Verse 26, Paul continues. "Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose foolish things to shame the wise things." Somebody asks you, "How are you?" What's the normal Christian response? "I'm fine. I'm okay. Everything's all right." We Christians lie a lot. You notice that? We lie a lot. People ask us that and we put on our Christian face. We're supposed to be happy and healthy and whole and no problems. That's a bunch of malarkey. That's another one of those lies of Satan, by the way. Christians face death and taxes and lousy neighbors just like everybody else. Because we are those things. You and I need to be honest with our God, with ourselves, and with one another. Now, when I ask you how are you, don't give me the whole list of all your organic ailments. But an honest, "Well, you know, yesterday was really, really tough." We're scared to do that. We're scared to let down our pretense. We're scared to let down our strength, especially us preachers. I mean, we're always supposed to be on top of everything, right? That ain't true, folks. Not for me, not for Peter, not for any pastor you've ever had. Life is just as tough in our shoes as it is in anybody else's. And the only way we make it through is when we rely on the foolishness of the cross. Just a closer walk with thee. That doesn't make good sense either. Just to walk next to Jesus? Hey, I got all these things to take care of. I got a whole list of to-dos. I didn't bring my notepad in. I got a yellow notepad. It's just full of things I got to do tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. I mentioned one time in my church in West Virginia that we should let God direct our steps and call the shots more often. One of the ladies said, "You mean I'm supposed to let God do it His way?" I said, yeah, I think that's what the Bible says. She says, "Suppose He doesn't do it like I want Him to." Well, she was more honest than most of us because we live it that way. We're afraid to let go and let God. We're afraid to trust in what He's going to do and us not be in control. He doesn't need your smarts or my smarts. Who's a church treasure? Don't throw a hymn book at me. He doesn't even need our money. Don't throw a hymn book at me. He doesn't need anything we have. But we sure have some needs. We need to bow before Him and give Him our money. Give Him our smarts. Give Him our time. Give Him our abilities, our neighbor, our family, our cars. For you know, all the stuff I have ain't mine. Now, don't any of you come asking to borrow my car tomorrow just because I said that. Although if you do, I'll loan it to you if God tells me to. And He's done that a lot. What you and I have is God's. And only when we bow before Him and say, "My Lord and my God, I want to walk close to You. I want to give You what I've got. I want to do what You say. I want to be Yours, Father." Only then can we get beyond our foolishness and find His foolishness. Jesus said a lot of foolish things, didn't He? Love your neighbor. Well, that one doesn't sound too bad. Pray for those who despitefully use you. It's getting a little. Turn the other cheek. Yeah, right. You know what happens when you turn the other cheek? You get two sore cheeks. So Jesus, hanging on a cross, said, "Father, forgive them." And He wasn't talking about just those crazy Romans or those disciples who deserted Him. He was talking about you and me. He was talking about the way we live our life and how we spend our resources, how we care for those who care for us, but leave those other turkeys alone. Let them fend for themselves. If I could understand God, I would be God. You too. We can't. He's beyond our figuring out. But we don't have to understand Him. We stand under Him. We allow Him to be God and me to be Joe. And that puts things in their right perspective. And then when I do that, then I can go after education and self-improvement. I can go after getting bigger and better and smarter and wiser because I'm doing it under God's direction instead of for my own reasons. I started attending church, I think I may have told you all this a couple of weeks ago. Started attending church when I was a teenager. Chalk up a brownie point for Joe. Started attending church on Sunday evening. Was one of four boys in Taylor County High School who went to church on Sunday evening. Boy, ain't I a good kid? Well, the reason I went was because of Dale and Marianne and Robin. Three 14-year-old girls who went to the First Baptist Church. So much for my brownie point, huh? And yet, it was through that kind of foolishness that God laid his hand on me and drew me closer and closer and taught me to walk with him and be his and do his way. How about you? Is God calling you today to walk in a new place, in a new way? To give up some of those things you've been hanging on to so tightly and let him have them? Corrie Ten Boom of The Hiding Place says, I try to hang on to the things of earth lightly so that it doesn't hurt when God takes them away. Family, friends, loved ones, IRAs, houses, dreams, they're all God's. And if we're going to walk closer to him, we're going to have to believe the good news. Remember? The good news? Jesus came preaching, repent and believe the good news. Change your ways and believe the good news. What's the good news? God loves you and me, just like I am. He loves me and wants the best in the world for me and for you. And if I want to walk with him, if I want to honor him, he will do the very best thing. See, that's why that lady could let God do it his way, because his way is best. When I was 15 years old, I said, God, I'll give myself to you. I'll do anything for you. I'll go to Africa as a missionary, South America. I'll even be a deacon or a trustee. Just don't make me be a pastor, God. You should never say things like that to God. You should never say things like that to God, because his way is best. And on this end of it, I say thank you, God, for laying your hand on me and calling me and allowing me to be your servant. But you know what? He ain't through with me yet. He's not through with you either. What's in front of you? What's that thing you need to lay down and let God deal with? What's that thing you need to pick up and do for someone else? Who's that person in your circle that needs to know God loves them and you're the only one that can tell them that? Yeah, there really are people like that. Who's that little 2-year-old or 22-year-old or 82-year-old who's looking at you and wondering, are you Jesus?